Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vedati Sapanandikam Manisha Kaupaju Vyascha Kripasan Vaya Vacha Petitalam Pavanego Vaisho Yavyam Monama. Krishna has just finished his chastisement of the Kaliya snake, Kaliya serpent, by dancing upon his heads and marking his heads with the marks of his lotus feet. And then, by kicking Kaliya's head again and again, Kaliya was close to death. And when he understood who Krishna was, that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, he offered his obeisances to him and surrendered within his mind. His wives, the Nagapatnis, at that time, they offered prayers to Krishna, the last few of them. I found especially sweet. They were in three sections, those prayers. The first section was they were saying the punishment was justified. In the second section, they were offering their obeisances. And in the third section, they were asking for something. They were asking that Krishna forgive their husband. Those last few prayers, there's three or four of them. All material bodies throughout the three worlds, those that are peaceful in the mode of goodness, those that are agitated in the mode of passion, and those that are foolish in the mode of ignorance, are all your creations. Still, those living entities whose bodies are made in the mode of goodness, or whose bodies are in the mode of goodness, are especially dear to you. And it is to maintain them and protect their religious principles that you are now present on the earth. So he's saying there that all the different natures, goodness, passion, and ignorance, implied also the mixture of those different natures. They're all coming from Krishna. Then he says, at least once, O Master, a Master should tolerate an offense committed by his child or subject. O Supreme Peaceful Soul, you should therefore give our foolish husband who did not understand Forgive our foolish husband who did not understand who you are. Because his nature ultimately is coming from you and he's made this one offense. Please forgive him. O Supreme Lord, please be merciful to us. Please be merciful. It is proper for the saintly to feel compassion for women like us. The serpent is about to give up his life. Please give us back our husband, who is our life and soul. So not only be compassionate to him, but be compassionate to us. Now please tell us, your maidservants, what should we do? Certainly anyone who faithfully executes your order is automatically freed from all fear. Then Sukadev continued. Thus praised by the Nagapatnis, the wives of the Naga Kaliya, the Supreme Personality of God had released the serpent Kaliya, who had fallen unconscious, his head battered by the striking of the Lord's lotus feet. Short purport. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Krishna, upon reaching his decision, immediately jumped down from Kaliya's hoods and stood before the serpent and his wives. We should remember that when Krishna executed these pastimes, he was just a young village boy in Vrindavan. Srila Sanatana Goswami has a comment here. He who was satisfied simply by the offering of prayers, or else he who was enjoying the mellows of his independent pleasure pastimes in Vrindavan, because the first word in this is, they're saying, itam sa nagapatni bir. So his In this way, he, Lord Krishna. So the pronoun he, sa, is referring to Lord Krishna. So he means he was simply satisfied by the offering of prayers. Or another meaning, he who was enjoying the mellows of his independent pleasure pastimes in Sri Vrindavan. Or else he is he who is distressed to see the pain of others, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he, as the text said, thus praised by the Nagapatnis, he, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, released the serpent Kaliya. So this is explaining why he released him. The serpent had fallen unconscious, but he released him because of their prayers, first reason, or he was independently enjoying his pastimes, because Krishna is the one who is independent. And he does as he likes. So why, according to this reason, did he release them? Because he desired to. Or another meaning of he released them was because he is distressed to see the pain of others. So he released Kaliya, Sanatana Goswami says, whose heads was shattered by the striking of his 2 feet and who was therefore unconscious. Although the words beginning sa appeared as the reason for releasing Kaliya, still these words announce that Kaliya's wickedness had been completely eradicated. So by the fact that Krishna has danced upon his heads, Kaliya had been completely purified. From the actual point of view, Sanatana Goswami says, his heads were crushed from being entranced by the ecstatic dancing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All along in this pastime, Sanatana Goswami has given an alternative meaning that the embracing of Krishna of Kaliya. Are you going to do that one by one? It's going to make things very uncomfortable for you. No, that was a very soft cut. All the Matajis should take their toys and play with them quietly. So all along, Sanatana Goswami has expressed an alternative meaning that Kaliya was actually in ecstasy by his association with Krishna. So here he's saying that, and when he was even holding Kaliya, Kaliya was holding Krishna within his serpentine coils, that he was actually embracing him. And Krishna stayed in that embrace for one muhurta or 48 minutes because it was indeed a loving embrace. So here he's saying that Kaliya was crushed in the sense of ecstatically unconscious because of being touched by Krishna's lotus feet. Or else, as he's saying, Kaliya was experiencing the bewilderment of ecstasy. The idea of the phrase beginning Nagapatni B, the Nagapatnis, is follows. Although satisfied within himself because of his own mercifulness and so on, even in seeing the unhappiness of them, he became especially satisfied by their prayers. This is because in this incarnation, which is for the purpose of disseminating special pure love of God, he generally shows his special mercy to women who are suitable candidates for it. In the next text, 55. Kaliya, after Krishna released him, he slowly regained his vital force and his sensory functions. His body began to be able to gain the facility to work again. Then breathing loudly and painfully, the poor serpent addressed Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in humble submission. So he will offer four prayers here. And they very much, they are parallel to the words of his wives, the Nagapatnis. very, very interesting. Vayam kala sahupatya tamasa dhirmanyava swabhava dustyajonata lokanam yarasadgraha. Asadgraha means the acceptance of the asat, of the impermanent. So Kaliya said, so he too began to speak to Krishna, our very birth as a snake has made us envious, ignorant, and constantly angry. Oh my Lord, it is so difficult for people to give up their conditioned nature by which they identify with which is unreal. So what did he say? We have been born into the body of a snake, which is envious, ignorant, and constantly angry. It is very difficult, my Lord, to give up this mentality, this conditioned mentality. Who can give up the nature that is born of their bodies? And by that, nevertheless, even though it's so difficult to give it up, by that they identify with which that which is unreal. There's a short purport here, and then we'll read some of the commentaries. Srila Sanatana Goswami points out that because of his wretched condition, Kaliya was unable to compose original prayers to the Lord, unless he paraphrased some of the prayers offered by his wives. The word asatgraha indicates that a conditioned soul seizes upon impermanent and impure things, such as his own body, the bodies of others, and other countless varieties of material sense objects. We try to cling to the asat, to the temporary. And the result of that is material, the result of that material attachment, being attached to the temporary. Because if we become attached to the which is temporary, it is only temporarily within our grasp. We cannot control it. This is the reality of the material world. We grasp onto things. We want things. We want things to be securely ours. But they cannot be. It is the very nature of the material world that prevents, because it is asashvatam, it is temporary, it is old. It is non-eternal. And therefore it is dukkalayam. It is full of misery because of that. We try to grasp things which it is impossible for us to grasp. And therefore the ultimate result of such material attachment is frustration, disappointment, and anguish, a fact that has now become clear, crystal clear, to the poor serpent Kaliya. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments on text 56, short comment. Because of his wretched condition, being unable to compose anything else on his own and thus speak, he simply repeats the ideas that he has heard from his wife, as mentioned in the BBT purport. Or else, being satisfied with the statements of the ladies, he spoke just as they did. In four verses, beginning Vayam. By very birth means the nature of the speech species. So, it's one's nature. Very difficult to give up one's conditioned nature. So that is okay if one has the nature of being a devotee, if there is much transcendence within our natures. But when one has an envious, angry, ignorant nature, very difficult to give it up. And therefore these prayers and the mood of these prayers are very pertinent. And O Nata, O Lord, which implies a person's nature is bestowed upon him by you. You are the Lord. So therefore, we can't give up nature, our nature, O Lord, but you are the one who has bestowed that nature upon us. And the prayers will continue in a way that we can practically predict. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also has a short comment. Since there is acceptance of the impermanent, asat, of attachment, hatred, and so on, even though it is understood to be unfavorable by even intelligent men, so what to speak of such foolish persons as ourselves? He's saying, we're so foolish, we've accepted the asat. And therefore, there is so much suffering that is due to us. Text 57. Tvaya srishtam idam vishvam dhaturguna visarjanam nana svabhava varya jo yoni bija sayakriti. O Supreme Creator, it is you who generated this universe, composed of the variegated arrangements of the material modes. And in the process, you manifest various kinds of personalities and species, varieties of sensory and physical strength, and varieties of mothers and fathers with variegated mentalities and forms. He's saying, you're the creator of all these things. He's saying it very clearly right now. This nature, the whole universe. Lord Brahma, who is Dattar in the verse. He is the secondary creator of the Visarga creation. But Krishna is the primary creator. He is the ultimate cause of this creation. So Sridhar Swami has a short comment, as does Sanatana Goswami. So Sridhar Swami says, this universe, in its variegatedness, is created by the modes of material nature, and thus it is called Guna Visarjanam. And more specifically, it is that creation that encompasses various personal natures and so on. So in other words, the point is coming out that you are the creator of my nature, so much covered by ignorance. And therefore, he's going to say eventually, what can I do? I have this nature. I'm depending on you to change it. And this dependence on Krishna is the essence of a devotee's surrender. Sanatana Goswami says, Kaliya further elaborates in this matter with a verse and one half and a half beginning Tvaya. But Krishna may object, the universe is created by Sri Brahma, not by me. Anticipating this objection, Kaliya speaks, O Creator, meaning that you create in that form of Brahma. You create in that form of Brahma. Datta. So, Krishna is the creator, Krishna is the maintainer, and Krishna is the destroyer of the universe. This is the meaning of his being the cause of all causes. And these guna avatars, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Vishnu, they're working, of course Lord Vishnu is in a different category, but they are working as agents empowered by Krishna, just like there's an ordinary person who walks into the United Nations and he says, Australia votes like this, and it is as if it is the country voting, the voting of all the people, or the American ambassador, or the Chinese ambassador. They are empowered to cast the vote of the entire country, even though they themselves are just ordinary people, flesh and bones, etc. But due to that being empowered by the country, their vote acts more than their own weight. So similarly, living entities can be empowered by Krishna, and Lord Brahma, a living entity, is Dattur. He is empowered to create the universe. Empowered by which mode of nature?
Passion.
Yes. Just imagine what that's like, carrying the sum total of the mode of passion. Text 58. There's two more prayers in his prayers.
Vayam shatatra bhagavan sarpa jati rumanyava katam tyajasam tamayam dustyajam mohitam sayam.
Vayam, we. Shatatra bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we. In your material creation, we, meaning all the species in your material creation, Sarpa jati rumanyava. But we, the serpents, by a species, jati, by that family, the serpent family, urumanyava, we are too much absorbed with anger. Katam tyajasam. How can we give up this tvayat mayam? This is your illusory potency. How can we give up this anger? Dustyajam. It's impossible to give up. Mohitam swayam. We are bewildered. How can we give it up swayam by ourselves? So what is implied is, it is you, O Natha, O Lord, Bhagavan, Vayam Chittattva Bhagavan. You are the Supreme Lord. It is only by your grace can we give up our angry natures. So he's indirectly, not directly, saying, please take away this nature of mine. So he's realized, because what has he done? He's bitten Krishna. He's tried to kill Krishna. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, here is the translation, amongst all species within your material creation, we serpents are by nature always enraged, filled with anger. Being thus deluded by your illusory potency, which is very difficult to give up, how can we possibly give it up on our own? So the mode of goodness is the balanced mode. The mode of ignorance is completely unbalanced. The mode of goodness is the Sattvam Sanjayate Gyaram. From the mode of goodness is born knowledge. From the mode of passion, the consciousness becomes, the mode of ignorance. From that focused consciousness is anger, which is very focused consciousness, but in the wrong way. When one is angry, one cannot see anything but what one sees. And even people, they kill someone else, and their lawyer will plead, oh, he was temporary insanity, which means he's angry, basically. Because that's what anger is. It's temporary, a simple focusing of the consciousness on a part, a very small part of reality. That's insanity, basically speaking. So here's the... So how can we give this up? How can we give up our conditioned, faulty nature, and Kali Yuga especially? People are not plagued usually by the mode of goodness. They're plagued by passion and ignorance. So how can we give this up on our own? It is not possible, actually. Short, two-sentence purport. Kaliya is here indirectly begging for the Lord's mercy, realizing that on his own he can never become free from illusion and suffering. Only by surrendering to the Lord and obtaining his mercy can one be released from the painful conditions of material life. Comments by Srila Srila Swami, Sanatana Goswami, and Vishwanathya. But shortcomings. Jatya, Srila Srila Swami says, simply by birth we possess terrible anger. So how can we give this up on our own? Sanatana Goswami, O Bhagavan, O controller of everything, which refutes the objection that it is by your own karma that you have become a serpent. Since he is the controller even of karmic reactions, or else, O supremely independent one, implying that because even fruitive activities and so on are under the control of you, it is simply by your desire that we have become established like this. So what can we wretched persons say on the matter? Or else, O you whose order cannot be transgressed, meaning, how are we capable of giving up Maya, consisting of our excessive anger? Pointing again in four different ways, pointing to Krishna, please help. Otherwise I won't be able to give up my bad qualities. And then how will I keep myself out of trouble? By ourselves. Sarva Jati Manyava. Mohitam Sayam, on our own, Sayam, by ourselves means that if through your agency we give that up, only then is it possible. But the Lord may answer, then for the purpose of giving up, we should consider engaging in my worship. And Kaliya replies to this, we are bewildered by your maya. Or else, on our own, we simply remain bewildered. So asking a request for mercy, this is bhakti, the request for mercy. And how many times do we need to get kicked in the head, have Krishna dance upon our heads before we accept that Krishna, like Kaliya, it took so many times before he accepted that Krishna was the Supreme Lord and that he was powerless and should surrender. How many times will it take? Because ultimately when we are kicked by the material energy, it is ultimately, Kaliya is saying, that it is ultimately Krishna who is the controller of it. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has one short sentence, but same as Srila Swami's. By our birth we are too much full of anger. 59. The final verse in this. Bhavam hikararam tatra sarvagyo jagadishwaraha anugraham nigramham va manyasetad vedetina. O Lord, since you are the all-knowing, the omniscient Lord of the universe, you are the actual cause of freedom from illusion. Please arrange for us whatever you consider proper, whether it be mercy or punishment. So in other words, Kaliya hereby surrendered in these verses. Because he felt himself helpless. You can reward me, you can punish me, you can keep me with this anger-filled serpent body, or you can remove it. What can I do? You are the one who is satantra. You are the one who is independent. I can ask you to help me, but there is no way I can force. You are not my order supplier. You are the all-powerful Supreme Lord, and I am this tiny, insignificant energy enwrapped in the entity, enwrapped in this in a material body, controlled by your energy, your maya shakti. So if you, I cannot do anything, but I am requesting. If you want to give me mercy, okay. If you want to punish me, okay. So when someone places himself in Krishna's care like that, then Krishna certainly will tend to extend his mercy to such a person. Sanatana Goswami comments on this final verse. The cause indicates that through your agency, maya, she can be given up. You consider whatever you desire, and that you should ordain. That, thus, the reason for showing mercy is that you are omniscient. You know everything. You know the influence of your illusory energy. You know I'm helpless. And you also know ourselves and our wretched condition. I am helpless and I need help. And the reason for punishing is that Krishna is the Lord of the universe and he is supremely independent. So you can punish me or reward me as you like. You're supremely independent. Or else, thus, even in that the offenses I've committed to you, you are the cause ultimately. This Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that Anumantacha Bhakta Bhakta Maheshwaram Deheshwin Purusha Param. that he is the permitter of everything. So ultimately, it's Krishna who is the cause. Out of Kaliya's embarrassment and fear, he does not specifically mention the offense. But still, you know that, he says, because you are Savagya, or omniscient. You know what I've done. And what has he done? When he first saw Krishna, beautiful, beautiful Krishna, when Krishna jumped into the lake, Kaliya first stared at him in all his beauty, and then he bit him on the chest with his poison fangs. He could not tolerate, even though he saw and appreciated Krishna's beauty, he could not tolerate that Krishna had come into his home. So he would not, he was so embarrassed and felt so bad that he could not even mention what he had done, but he called it the offense and said, Savagya, you know everything. The Supreme Lord of all universes, therefore you should give punishment to those who deserve it. Therefore, whatever you consider, whatever you wish to do, do that to us. Thus the implication is, what is the value of our own desire? Because we can't influence Krishna ultimately by we can influence him, but we cannot force him to do anything. Ultimately, we're not in control. This is frightening for the conditioned soul. Very frightening. So ultimately, the question is whether we're going to trust Krishna or not. We're going to be atheists or theists. This is the question. And if we're theists, ultimately we have to put ourselves under Krishna's control. Because we cannot do anything other than that, in fact. When we're atheists, we can deny that we're placing ourselves under Krishna's control. But ultimately, an atheist cannot say that for sure, that I'm not under, that there is no God. He cannot make that statement in an authoritative way. So those are Kaliya's prayers. Ultimately, he surrendered. Do as you like. Then, text 60. Sukadeva Goswami said, here, Krishna's reply is 60 to 63. That's four verses. After hearing Kaliya's words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Godhead, who was acting the role of a human being, he replied, and this point will come up, that Krishna is acting as a human being. That will come up in the commentaries. He replied, because he said, do what you wish. Kaliya said, do what you wish. And what does Kaliya, what does Krishna do? How does he instruct him? What is his wish? He says, O serpent, you may not remain here any longer. Go back to the ocean immediately. Samudra yahima chiram. Immediately, return. Ramanaka, your place, accompanied by your retinue of children, wives, other relatives and friends, let this river be enjoyed by the cows and humans, by the residents of Vrindavan. Because after all, he was a snake, and he was poisonous. So that's the first verse. Sanatana Goswami says here, the verse beginning Ityakarnya, that's this verse. Thus hearing, Ityakarnya means thus hearing, Vacha Praha. After hearing the words of Kaliya, Krishna spoke, Bhagavan, Vacha Praha, Bhagavan, Karya Manusha, who was acting like a human being, he spoke. The idea, here's Sanatana Goswami's comment, the idea is that Krishna understood Kaliya's thought that whatever he ordered would be necessary. He understood what Kaliya was saying, and he would carry it out. For now he understood that Kaliya was favored by humility. He agreed to do whatever Krishna had ordered him. To perform his whatever Krishna would order him to do, so he could perform his business of benefiting the universe. For this purpose, the Supreme Personality of Godhead had manifested himself in a human-like form. Or else, by whom human beings are made fortunate by the disseminating of his own pure devotional service and love of Godhead. This is truly the only fortune, because it is the fortune that brings mercy, Krishna's mercy. Because we think, when we think what is fortunate and what is unfortunate in this world, materialistic persons cannot in fact discern fortune from misfortune, because so quickly fortune turns into misfortune, and so quickly on the other hand misfortune or failure becomes the pillar of success. So in the material world there is actually nothing that's fortunate, because even if one has some fortune, it will quickly cause misfortune for him, as we said. Wealth turns into misuse of wealth, sinful activities very often, which causes so much bad karma. And so the point is clear. So the Lord's becoming like a human being occurs simply by the pure devotion and love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, this love is very difficult to achieve even by the demigods, and is worthy of being prayed for. Previously, because of pure devotion and pure love of God being for the most part absent, Krishna did not act in the role of a human being. Whereas now, such a form has been manifested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the implication that it is not proper for serpents to remain in his primary place, Sri Vrindavan Dham. Because Krishna has come to exchange the most intimate loving sentiments with his most intimate devotees. And a poisonous snake cannot be in Vrindavan. He is not qualified to be there. That's the implication. Or else, he comes and his associates, such as he comes and has his associates, such as Sri Nanda Maharaj and so on, who are even more worshipable than Brahma. So this is why he's there in Vrindavan, for the pleasure of his associates like Nanda Maharaj and the other Brajavasis. And therefore, in this way, the idea is that he becomes a human being for the purpose of giving Sri Nanda Maharaj and others pleasure. So this is because when we say that Krishna is Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, he's the Bhokta. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. We don't like that concept. That why should Krishna be the supreme enjoyer? I also want to enjoy at least something, at least my house, or at least my little room, or at least my little this or that. I don't need to be perhaps the universal enjoyer, but at least let me be the enjoyer of something. Let there be something that's mine to enjoy. Or one thinks, why should Krishna be the supreme enjoyer? I want to be a big, big enjoyer. But how does Krishna enjoy? What is his pleasure? His pleasure is giving pleasure to the devotees, such as Nanda Maharaj. That is how Krishna enjoys, by serving his devotees. So he enjoys by service. That is Krishna's pleasure. The supreme, all-powerful, omniscient, supreme personality of Godhead, his pleasure is enjoying, and that is serving his devotees, giving service to his devotees. And the devotees' pleasure is serving their Lord. So how wonderfully the spiritual world works. Everyone, Krishna and all the souls, all the individuals, all the devotees that are there, all the Nitya Siddha Parikara devotees, they're all serving Srimati Radharani, Krishna, Nandi, Soda, Subal, Sridham, everyone just simply serving. And in the material world, and that is their aspiration. And in the material world, it's the opposite. And therefore, the spiritual world is the spiritual world, and the material world is Dukalayam. It is a place of misery. Because everyone is trying to be the master in the spiritual world. Everyone, including Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, is trying to enjoy by serving. O serpent! By Krishna saying this, using that address, the Lord points out how it is unfitting for him to remain there and how he has the power to travel, traveling in his own serpent-like way. Therefore, by saying, together with your relatives and so on, the Lord hints by the word sva that they are just like him, are full of contaminated poison, and that they are under his subordination. Even if we take the alternative reading of tvam instead of sva by implying that he is very much contaminated, the same idea is meant. Nadi is the flowing Sri Yamuna, which will become usable to the general populace when you are no longer residing here. So you have to leave, he's telling him. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In the activities, the duties of subduing Kaliya and so on, which are impossible to be executed even by Brahma, Rudra, and the other demigods, Krishna appears as a human being rather than appearing in such form as the wielder of the Sudarshan Chakra and so on, which might be appropriate for each of these different deeds. Or else Karyam means his sports, his pastimes, by which he manifests his human-like form for pastimes. Or else he appears as a human being such that it is amazing even for Brahma. Ascharya means wonderful or amazing. Or else he who performs the deed of a human being, you should leave this place because the river should be enjoyed by the cows and the human beings so that the grass leaves fruits and water in its currents and on the banks may become fit for being enjoyed by them. 61. If a mortal being attentively remembers my command to you to leave Vrindavan and go to the ocean and narrates this account at sunrise and sunset, he will never be afraid of you. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments on text 61. My command to you, because Kaliya said, tell me what to do, I will surrender. My command to you has been characterized as you should not stay here. But over and above that, while chanting these commands, this command at the juncture of the day, or remembers these pastimes, or else who is engaged in chanting them, or else there is this special fear from snakes who are agitated by hunger at the juncture of the hot and rainy seasons, at which time they first come out of their holes, and also at the juncture of the rainy and cold seasons which they enter their holes. Accordingly, even at those two times, one does not have reason for fear. So if one chants these prayers or remembers the pastimes, then one loses one's fear of snakes. And those two times mentioned in Vrindavan, those are dangerous times for snakes, especially when the rains come, because, boy, the snakes live in their holes. What happens when the rain comes? They have to come out, and they don't want to come out. And they come out, and they're hungry, and they're angry. And the rains come when it's hot. So they come out, and they're active when it's hot, and they're angry. So it's a dangerous time. And the grasses are growing, the snakes in the grass. And the other time is when it gets cold. So they're out, and it gets cold, and they have to go back in their holes, and they don't like that either, because they can't move quickly. They're cold-blooded reptiles. They can't move quickly when it's cold, and they're too cold. So they have to go into the holes where it's warmer. So these two times, the beginning of the cold season and the rainy season, are dangerous times with snakes. So Krishna said, this order to you is so potent that no one need fear you anymore. So don't worry. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the glory of the two of us, that by touching you with my feet, you were punished by me. Both of us are glorious. I am always glorious, but you have become glorious because you've been touched by my feet. The glory of the two of us, by my touching of you with my feet, punishing you, that glory will remain as long as the moon and stars exist. This the Lord states in the verse beginning, Yah. From the word he will not obtain reason to fear you. It is understood that these two verses, 61 through 62, are a mantra for driving out serpents. In the same way, there is another mantra in the Rig Veda for getting rid of serpents. 62. If one bathes in this place of my pastimes and offers the waters of this lake to the demigods and other worshipable personalities, or if one observes a fast and duly worships and remembers me, he is sure to become free from all sinful reactions. According to the Acharyas, the Lord spoke this verse to make it clear to Kaliya that he could by no means remain in the Yamuna lake. Although the Lord had mercifully pardoned the serpent and ordered him to go to the ocean with all his associates, Kaliya should not even consider requesting to remain in the lake because it was now to become a holy place for spiritual pilgrims. 62. Sanatana Goswami's comment. But Kaliya may question, by the fault of association with me, who am contaminated, this lake has become contaminated. So how can it be fit to be enjoyed by the cows and the humans? Anticipating this question, the Lord bestows a benediction upon the lake in order to sanctify it with the verse beginning, Yah. All Krishna has to do is say, this lake is now a holy place. And instantaneously the waters are pure, free from contamination, able to purify others, and it's a holy place. Because Krishna has what is known as Ichha Shakti. His desire has potency. Whatever he wills comes to pass. His energies serve him continuously and only. So if Krishna wants to say, Gauranam, you can now qualify to go back to Godhead. And then that automatically happens. No, not if the devotee. That is what inspires Krishna, devotee. Krishna to say that or feel that. Because his prayer follows the devotee's prayer. So then the question becomes, the meditation of a devotee is, how can I please the devotees so that Krishna becomes pleased with me? And this is what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say. Don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will see you. So this is the meditation of a devotee. How can I act in such a way to evoke Prabhupada's blessings? So, or sincere servants of Prabhupada or other great Vaishnavas so that Krishna will bestow his mercy. Kaliya may question, by the fault of association with me, who am contaminated, or contaminated, this lake has become contaminated, how can it be fit to be enjoyed by the cows and humans, which Krishna said in the previous verse? Anticipating this question, the Lord bestows a benediction upon the lake in order to sanctify it with the word for its beginning, Yah. Worship with water implies the dispelling of the contamination of the poison and so on. While fasting, performing fasts on such days as the Ekadasi, he who, remembering me, performs worship, becomes free from all kinds of sin by becoming perfectly free from sinful desires. Being free from sin means being free from sinful desires. Because sinful desires are the result of sin. Karma is carried by desires and propagated. Or else he becomes free from all sinful persons, those who are inimical to me. In other words, he does not have to look upon non-devotees. And you read this in the Shastra Chaitanya Charitamrita, to even see the face of a devotee, of a non-devotee, you should immediately jump into the Ganga with all your clothes on. Just imagine how difficult it would be. Every time you walk out your door, to go buy a ticket to Mayapur or something, Benares, jump in the Ganga with all your clothes on, come back, see another one, and go again, come back. Out of fear of Garuda, you left Ramanaka Island and came to take shelter of this lake in the Yamuna. But because you are now marked with my footprints, Garuda will no longer try to eat you. And you have no reason to fear Garuda because of that anymore. Sridhaswami, come. Sanatana Goswami says, the word Dvipam expresses vastness. That's the Ramanaka Dvip, where he came from. And Ramana means it gives pleasure, while the suffix ka, defined as indicates a name, is simply to give pleasure. This place is simply to give pleasure. All this spoken by the Lord is to give encouragement to Kaliya. You should go. If he told him to leave Vrindavan and go to a miserable place, but he said, go to Ramanaka, the place of pleasure. So this encouraged Kaliya. This lake, which is merely a little more than one yojana in measurement, 8 miles, I believe, implying that it is very much less in size compared to that dvipa, Ramanaka dvipa. By the word upasrita, taken shelter, is refuted that it is meant to live, you are meant to live here, you had come, he said, you have come to take shelter in this, the Yamuna, but this is, it means that you haven't meant to live here forever, you are just taking shelter here for some time, because Garuda was after you. Not yet means Garuda will not eat you. In other words, he will not eat you. Why? Because you are marked with my footprints, decorated with the signs of the chakra upon your heads. This is because of the Lord's playful dancing movements executed before, or else this is a benediction to him given just now. 64. Sukadev continues. So that was Krishna's words. My dear King, having been released by Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities are wonderful, Kaliya, joined his wives in worshipping Krishna with great joy and reverence. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments as follows on this verse. The word abhuta kamana indicates the Lord's wonderful activities of saving the residents of Vrindavan from Kaliya, saving Kaliya himself from Garuda, and bestowing grace upon both the victims of violence and the victim of the violence and the committer of the violence. The word Krishnena by Krishna indicates that because Kaliya's wives were great devotees of the Lord and offered him loving affection, Krishna withdrew both Kaliya's offense against the Lord's devotee Garuda and that against the residents of Vrindavan who were very dear to him. So Krishna immediately took away the offenses. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, it's a long comment here. Freed means let go by Krishna by coming down from his head, or else he was already freed from before when expressed by the word Visharaj, and this is simply a repeated statement, whose activities are wonderful, Adbhuta Kamana, indicate that even though it is obvious that punishment was given by the Lord by driving Kaliya out and subduing him, still Kaliya has attained his own previous happy place of residence. Out of fear of whom he gave up that place, he went from there, and especially because of the markings of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that develops friendship and respect towards Kaliya on the part of Garuda, the best of divine Vaishnavas. When he sees that, he will respect and be friendly to Kaliya. Furthermore, by such pastimes of dancing, all the heads of Kaliya became marked by the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are served by Brahma and other demigods and prayed for by the goddess of fortune. Thus those heads all became perfected in their purpose. Even more specifically, all of his hoods, each one of them, became the Lord's dancing stage. Kaliya received the order of each one of them receive the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is honored even by such personalities as Sri Brahma. And thus Kaliya directly drank the nectar of the Lord's charming words, after which he performed worship and so on, just like a first-class devotee. In this way, even that which is which to external vision seemed as punishment was special mercy, and even apparent anger turned out to be in actuality a cause of perfect satisfaction. And further, Krishna is also considered adbhuta karma, the performer of wonderful activities, because simply by taking shelter within the heart, such favor was received by Kaliya, even though he was such an offender, and even though he had been punished. Furthermore, even though he needed to be expelled from Vrindavan in order that the Lord could freely enjoy pastimes together with the inhabitants of Sri Vrindavan along the entire bank of the Jamuna, still, since the exiling of him, because he had taken shelter of Sri Vrindavan, was not agreeable to the sadhus, therefore, in order to show them how Kaliya was by nature evil, Lord Krishna showed how his activities are wonderful by demonstrating to Sri Narada and others, demonstrated that Sri Nanda and others who are idolized by the greatest of saints, what condition was experienced by the cows and the cowherd boys after drinking Kaliya's poison, and what condition he himself exhibited. And further, he also showed how his actions are wonderful by inducing Sri Nanda Yashoda and the others to such agony on his behalf, and by his tolerating such pain experienced by the people of Vrindavan for some short time, even though he was actually being torn by extreme unhappiness. It's quite amazing. So there's two main points here. Srila Sanatana Goswami is saying that Krishna's activities are wonderful because the sadhus will feel very bad, because what is Krishna doing? He's telling someone to leave Vrindavan. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati says, I'll never leave Vrindavan under any circumstance. But this was actually described in the beginning of this pastime, that Krishna, it would be clear Kaliya's nature. He allowed Kaliya to do horrible things. Bite Krishna, hold him in his coils so tightly, trying to kill him. And all the sadhus and everyone witnessed how much suffering the residents of Vrindavan, the cows, the cowherd boys, Nandi and Yasoda, experienced due to Kaliya. And therefore, after letting everyone experience what a horrible, evil person Kaliya was, then no one, even the sadhus, would not complain when Krishna exiled him, told him to leave Vrindavan. We remember one time in the Philippines, Prabhupada had just given a lecture at the Manila Intercontinental Hotel, and there were about 500 people there. And after Prabhupada gave the lecture, he asked for questions, and one of the first people to ask the question was this Indian man stood up, and he wanted to show off. So he began speaking, not really asking a question, but just by telling some points of his own philosophy, which were quite ununderstandable. So he began speaking on and on and on and on and on, and there were 500 people. And he stood up, and he was holding the microphone, and there were 500 people just listening and listening. Prabhupada said, any questions? And he just went on and on and on. And then after a few minutes, Prabhupada said, are you finished yet? And the man said, no. And he just kept on talking and talking and talking. Then after a few more minutes, Prabhupada said, are you finished yet? And the man said, no. And he kept on talking. And then after another minute, Prabhupada said, are you finished yet? And he said, yes. And then Prabhupada just looked at him and said, then sit down! And everyone cheered. Because it was clear to everyone by that time that the man was a rascal and he was proud and a fool. And he just wanted to show off. So Prabhupada was so expert in dealing with him that before he told them just to be quiet and sit down, he made everyone else understand how foolish this man was, and then he did it. Because if Prabhupada in the beginning would have told him to sit down, everyone would have said, oh, he won't let, you know, he won't let people ask questions and what's wrong with him and things like that. So Prabhupada allowed everyone to understand, and then he acted perfectly. So similarly, Krishna allowed Kaliya to exhibit his evil nature before sending him out of Vrindavan. And the other point, which was quite astounding, that Krishna even tolerated. Listen to this again. He also showed, this is all in description of Adbhuta Karmana, or in the described earlier as Adbhuta Chesta, his wonderful pastimes, or his wonderful activities. He also showed how his actions are wonderful by inducing Sri Nanda, Yashoda, and the others to agony on his behalf. Because Krishna ultimately is the cause of all causes. So he allowed Nanda and Yashoda and all the residents of Vrindavan to see him enwrapped in the coils of the snake and experience so much agony. And by his tolerating such pain experienced by the people of Vrindavan, even though he himself was actually being torn by extreme unhappiness. So Krishna, who loves to serve his devotees, had to tolerate the misery that his devotees were experiencing. So this is to show how evil Kaliya was and to perform his wonderful pastimes. So this is quite wonderful. Krishna is not hard and callous, but he has his purpose nevertheless, his independent purposes. And Krishna's actions were also wonderful because he trampled upon all the heads of Kaliya, which were bedecked with many jewels by the touch of his divine lotus feet, and the tenderness of which is sung in by the gopis in the end of Gopi Gita. I can't remember the verse right now. O Lord, O darling, when you leave Braja to tend the animals, your feet, which are more tender than the lotus, suffer pain by walking on the tips of the grass and the young sprouts. And this thought is agitating our mind. So Krishna's feet are so tender, but yet he danced upon the heads and the jewels of Kaliya. And further, so that's also a wonderfulness of Krishna's activities. And further, while displaying such power, you took the opportunity to indulge in wonderful dancing before the eyes of the sages, perfect beings and demigods. And still, while displaying your dancing ability, you took the opportunity to strike terribly all the hoods of Kaliya, which were swirling and rolling about. All of these are indications of how the Lord performs wonderful activities. But enough with this elaboration, Sanatana Goswami says. This pastime is simply another exhibition of his status of Godhead, as stated by the word Bhagavata. All of this has been spoken by Sri Sukadeva on the basis of complete knowledge of everything, expressed by the word Sri Rishi, which means he who is the seer of everything. Uvacha expresses that this word was perfect, Sukta. O king means, O you who are shining with intelligence, and so forth. In other words, you are capable of understanding rationally how the Lord performs wonderful activities. Or else Raja means shining brilliantly. Kaliya, having regained all the effulgence of his body by the special touch of Lord Krishna's, of Lord's lotus feet, the flowing of his blood and the pain he experiences immediately being dispelled by the grace of the Supreme Personality. Kaliya offers worship. Here the reading Nagapatnya's Cha is the most clear of all the possible alternatives. With pleasure is stated because he could appreciate the mercy that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has shown him. Or else this word Muda is describing the nature of his worship, because he is worshipping Krishna, which means with reverence and with love. Kaliya, having now acquired the special loving sentiments of the Nagapatnis, thus it is to be understood that they, the Nagapatnis, were holding in their hands clothing and other ornaments, fragrances and sandalwood pulp to use for the worship of Krishna. And the last thing we'll read is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's short comment. And then there's one more verse in Purport, or three actually in one section, but we'll save that for tomorrow. By the adjective divya and so on, Adbhuta Kamana indicates the wonderful activities of saving the living entities of Vraja from Kaliya, saving Kaliya himself from Garuda, and bestowing grace upon both victims of the violence and the committer of the violence. By Krishna implies it was response. This was done in response to the loving affection of the wives of Kaliya, who were the topmost devotees, that he withdrew caution on the offense against his own devotee Garuda, and also the offense against the living beings inhabiting Vrindavan, who were very dear to him. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sri Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead Ki Jai. Sri Kaliya Nagapatni Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All of which passes Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.